Hey, I'm Reno.
And I'm Anders.
Welcome to How to Entrepreneur, a podcast program by Inch.
A show where we would like to take you on a fun journey about entrepreneurship. You'll hear inspiring stories with leaders and entrepreneurs across various industries and how they creatively overcome obstacles and challenges. Here we go.
Welcome to another episode of How to Entrepreneur. Today, we will learn a little bit more about how being in the right community can help businesses scale more effectively. Now, we have a very special guest. She's currently the managing director of 657 Oslo, a startup community that offers co-working space for creative industries. Welcome, Anina Willem Karp.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking your time. And I think a lot of people would like to know me as well. Why the name 657? What does that mean?
Thank you for asking, Anders. It's a story that we just decided to keep for a long time. So basically, where it all started, it was here at the same building that we are still located in. 2012 was the year. And back in the days, it was 657 square meters.
Oh,
so that's all we started on. And back then, co-working was not a big deal in Norway yet. It was quite new. So our founders, Joachim and Anniken, they basically just decided that, well, why can't we just put a lot of cool people together and start working and collaborating? And so we kept the size in our logo and our name, you can say.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm personally very excited to speak with you, Anina, because normally when we speak with founders, it's more of a one-on-one experience. You being at a co-working space, I believe you probably have many experience looking at different startups, working with different creative people. And I just wanted to, speaking of community and scaling, I just wanted to ask you, in your experience, how does being in the right community would help founders or businesses scale more effectively? Like, how would that look from your point of view?
Well, that's a good question. And I'm actually finishing my master thesis about this team right now. So it's a lot of factors playing in, of course, in how to succeed. I think one big one is the community and the environment around you when you start and when you establish a startup. And I think the total of network possibilities and the social agenda. I mean, usually when you have an idea and you start, you're not many people. You might be alone, or you might be just a few people. And it's nice to feel like you're part of something bigger and meet people, like-minded people that you can share interests with and share experiences with, nevertheless. So I think that's a huge value for many.
You guys are like you help out other businesses, but once they come to you, do you help them alone, or can you like get help from other businesses, share experiences from the other businesses that are there? Or how does it kind of work once a business comes to you for help?
So we try to connect as much as we can. And so maybe you know, maybe you know, you don't. 657 has a big focus on the creative industries and creative technology. So many of our startup companies here, they are ready to go to market and scale. So they basically find out what the idea was and what their market is. And then they come to us when they're ready to grow, basically. And when they come to us, they usually need different things. Sometimes they need communication strategies and business development and stuff like that. We can help them with that in-house because we have a lot of competence on that. But also, I mean, the other startups and scale-ups sitting here and that have been sitting here before, they can also help out and tell their stories. So we try to do both, matching both with the competence and network, of course.
Great, thanks. That's really, really helpful, Nina. And coming from a world, I think there are a few co-working space out there, right? I think the one I can think of top of my head are like WeWork spaces. 657 obviously is a very niche space, right? I can feel the boutique a niche that you guys are in. So today, let's say I have an idea and I'm looking for a co-working space, looking to go to market. Why should people choose 657 versus, maybe other co-working space?
So I think, so this is something I answer every time we have a viewing, you can say. So it's an important question. And I think what is important for me to say as well is that this is not for everyone. So you will find a house that is suitable for you and your business idea. It might be mesh, it might be startup lab, it might be startup campus, it might be us, it might be someone else. And the differences are many, but for us, the focus on the creative industries and the creative tech is quite unique, and it gives the ones that comes into our community sort of a common understanding of a niche industry that is quite demanding from time to time. It's something different than fintech, for example. So feeling that people can understand your needs and your struggles is one of the biggest things. And also the community part is really important to us. I'm not going to talk good or bad about all of the other ones, but we do focus a lot on our community and to build that internally and externally around the ecosystem as well. So that is a really important thing that we do, and we have a lot of activities filling up that.
Yeah. I would also mention that you, to all the ones that are wondering if they should choose 657, that you are sitting in a pretty good podcast room right now.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Thank you for highlighting it.
Yeah, I would. Do you guys have any like other benefits for and studios or cameras or stuff like that for the creative community?
We were really lucky and thankful for getting some extra help last year during COVID. Which made it possible for us to build this studio that I'm now in, which is both a photo, film, streaming, and a podcast studio, which is available for all of our members and also everyone else in the ecosystem that want to rent for a day or a week or whatever. So this is fully equipped. You can borrow all the equipment in-house here and also get technical help if you need. So that is one of our newest benefits, you could say. And there is also legal advice with Sands, which is our partner. It's a lot of difficult things within the legal world that I think most people feel that is quite Greek in a way. So it's very good to have those on our side. And also a lot of these events and invites to special programs and initiatives that could really help you boost your business.
I just started thinking about my experience, you know, working at a few different startups back in San Francisco. The smaller ones tend to have a tighter community, right? But as I'm sure you've probably experienced this before, Nina, as you continue to grow, you know, I've also worked with a company that's 1,000 people. And there are times I'm in the kitchen getting my coffee. I have no idea what the person next to me is, right? So that kind of loses touch of the community. And I think today, if you're a founder, right, like you're looking for a co-working space, think a little bit more about just the space, just the benefits, but also people around you. And it really sounds like 657 is focusing on that. That's what at least what I'm hearing from you, Anina.
That's true. And I think that that combination of the startup mindset that we have here with the creative people and the creative vibe is a really good sweet spot, I would say. So it's also companies sitting here that has been, they're not startups anymore. They're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, more established. But they also help us with the competence within marketing, branding, and so on. So that is a really good combination, I would say.
And speaking of community, I hope to ask you, you know, being an expert in the field, like how does 657 create a good community? What are some of your strategies?
So I think in danger of repeating myself, I think the most important thing is that it's the common ground, you know, the common ground representing different creative industries and the startup mindset, which is key. So I would say in general, a community would describe people with the same interests in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So combining those people with the same interests and the same goals somehow, I think is key. And also, well, it's fun to talk about community right now, I just have to say, because it's been a year of COVID. And I started in August and I haven't seen all of our members yet. So I'm really, really excited to start building this community again, because it's kind of, it's not from scratch, but it's kind of a big thing happening this fall when everyone can come back, hopefully, and we can start introducing people to each other again. And to do that, we have a lot of events. So we have our very famous Kava lottery every Friday, which has also been we've been streaming it every Friday during COVID as well, because it's just a big deal for everyone here. And it's a really nice Friday ending of the week.
Yeah.
There is also co-working lunches where people can pitch their company and what they're looking for, maybe some collaboration possibilities, stuff like that. And there is a famous after work at our neighbor pizza place, which is really good pizzas and really good beers. So that's a nice thing as well. And then I think, like, in some way, we might be just lucky, but I don't think so. But in some way, we hit a nerve with some vibe that is giving you the feeling of home and creativeness and innovation and those kind of things in a very good combination. So people just start talking.
Yeah.
It's not always something we really need to force. They find them each other interesting in a way. They meet like-minded people.
Beautiful. And we also have a community manager, a community associate. And I don't want to speak for them, but I get a sense that sometimes it is challenging creating a good community, especially during COVID times, right? People are working from home. And so far, what we're trying is having different events. It could be during office hour, or off office hour, where we have like Kahoot different games. But I still find that, I don't know, do you know any techniques or things you guys are trying beyond those events? I know you saying like something like partnering with a pizza shop next door, having that live stream on Friday. Those are really good ideas. Anything that on top of your mind that you guys are trying to put people together?
So I think I would guess it's very different from in Norway from, for example, the US.
Yeah.
I would just guess that. We always hand out food. That is a really good tip, to be honest. Waffle Wednesday, we do have that a lot of weeks. It really attracts people, so it works. And I think also just, the fun things. As you mentioned, Kahoot is a really good thing. We tried some Kahoot things this fall and winter as well, online. And we have also done some stuff party kind of things. We have the famous julebord. Which is a big deal for all of our community members. And this year, of course, during COVID, we did it online. So we had this paint and sip kind of evening where I was hosting, trying to pretend that I was an artist. It was quite fun. But I think, in general, creating the space, and the community manager does a really great job when it comes to that, connecting people and pushing them a little bit, maybe. Perhaps Norwegian people are a little bit more like shy and uncomfortable, you need a little extra push sometimes, and that's all you need, basically.
Yeah, I find it interesting too, like when I go for walks around the neighborhood, or when my neighbors make eye contact with me, they immediately look away, and I would actually just say what's up to them just to make them feel a little uncomfortable, but I don't think people are offended by it. And a question that popped in my mind actually for you, Anish, because we're working at different offices, right? I'm in Oslo, you're in Bergen, and if I'm correct, I think you have 5 people there. So it's still pretty a tight group. Yeah. What are some of the communities you guys do, or events, things you do to tighten that community over in Bergen?
Yeah, it's been difficult for us here in Bergen because we started up in the fall, and we have hired a lot of people through the fall and through the spring. But it's difficult because we haven't had the chance to meet each other. And Jarl, our leader here at Inch Bergen, he lives in Tromsø, actually, so we haven't had the chance to like meet one-on-one either. I have not met any of the people, but we try to have some meetings online, of course. I think once a week we have a meeting, just talk about how it's going and just the flow, the workflow we have. And then we have another meeting together where we talk about what kind of tasks we're going to do for the next week, just so everyone are on the same page. And we have actually 2 legal associates, which are which are working closely with the Bergen office. So we also get like an insight on how's it going there. But I feel like we've been kind of bad and slacking on the community part, because we should meet and we should have, or at least meet more often and do more fun stuff like Kava Friday and fun stuff like that online, of course.
Inch is having a team event coming up in a few weeks. So I'm actually really excited to actually meet Anish, my counterpart. We love outdoors and we love beer. So I'm really looking forward to that. Kind of like you were saying, Anina, handing out food. Beer is always a good way for people to get together too, at least in my personal American experience. There's actually this saying that in the back of my mind after talking to you for a little while, Nina, is, you know, there's a saying, I guess in American culture, we say faster alone, further together, right? So that community sense. Do you have any success stories you remember?
So we have this really cute company that was sitting here a few years ago, basically when I moved in almost four years ago, called Filmbulvetter. And they make truger. I don't know the English word, to be honest. how you can do these things to make it to walk on snow.
Got it. It's I remember seeing like the Viking, like it's usually pretty long, right? So that way you don't sink into the snow. Got it. I have no idea what's in English.
No,
anyway,
created that. They created that and made a big deal out of it. Actually, I think they actually still deliver to like the Canadian military and stuff. So it's a big deal, and it's really necessary for places with a lot of snow, you know. Anyway, they were working together with the Pivot, which also does design, and the match there of the industry design and other design part, I think, was really, really good. So it's a lot of good stories here.
Nice.
People find our synergies. Yeah.
It's like Tinder, you know, like you match make people that put people together. That's awesome.
That's a good stroke for community manager, I would say. You're a matchmaker in many ways.
I think, Anish, you have a pretty interesting question. I hope you could share with the audience about culture and community.
Yeah. We have had, or we will release an episode about culture. I don't know if we haven't released it yet or what, but it will come. And I thought it was super interesting to hear what Evan said, the guest we had then, about culture. And now we're talking to you about community. And I see a lot of similarities, and I think they're kind of similar. So I'm asking you, what's the difference between a community and culture?
That's a really, really good question. And the first thing I'm thinking about is that it's all combined, and it's a huge, like, they need each other kind of, I think, to succeed. But I would say that a community is something interactive, you know, something a group of people with the same interests can take part of interactively. And then the culture is the movement, kind of the result and the following of the community, I would say. So both maybe the foundation and also the movement following the community doing something interactive.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you, Anina. Is, you know, those two things kind of work together. I'm just trying to think about, okay, what's a community that is not a culture? And what's a culture that's not a community? I'm trying to find an example. Like I'm thinking right now. Yeah, go ahead.
Do they exist?
Yeah, I don't think so. Right,
well, in the same time, you could say like culture, because culture in a region would be two different things, right? It would be the culture that we're talking about right now. And then it would be the culture usually talked about in terms of religion, for example, which is all the same in the bottom line. But at the same time, we're talking about it in different ways.
Huh, that's an interesting point regarding the different point of views about culture in Norway. So us three today, in a way, we could make up as a community. Right, and furthermore, take us three and put us in a group of 300. I think that makes it a separate community. And I think culture to me is how we act within that particular community. And therefore, different communities have different cultures. For example, I have a group of community or friends that I play sports with versus a different group of friends where we enjoy beers together. We behave differently, and therefore the cultures are different. And I think this program called Blitzscaling, where people can find it on YouTube, illustrates this idea, where they interview Brian Chesky, the CEO of Airbnb, where he talks about when you have a 5-people company, the culture is going to be different when you're a 500-people company, right? It still could be the same community, but the culture also changes. And that's the first thing that popped in my mind.
Though.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear this.
I think I want to challenge that. Okay, so I recently read this book of No Rules Rules. It's about the Netflix culture. Really good one. I really recommend it for people looking for a new book. The culture is the same, but the community still expands and grows and scales, you know? So the culture, I would say, is the behavior, you know, the rules and the unwritten rules and the behavior in the bottom line, like putting the foundation into something solid.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then the community, is it 5 people? That's a 5-people community. Okay. They share some interest. They take part. But then the larger they grow, it's still going to be the same culture, could still be strong enough to keep that, even though they're 500 people, 1,000 people. It all depends on the part of participation, I would almost say. Like Burning Man, for example, is a great example of a culture that is really known. And how do they do that? They have some set of guidelines, and that is so clear that the culture is already made.
Yeah, it's very interesting how Burning Man is able to capture the community and sustain that culture.
I just wanted to shoot in. I play football, and we also have like a culture there, I would say. And again, as you said, Vino, we are like, I would say 25 people, and you have like the culture within the group, and you have the coach that kind of sets down the rules and sets down the vibe that we're going to have. But we also have a lot of different ethnicities and stuff like that. So that creates kind of different communities within the culture. So I would definitely agree with you that that you have the same culture, but within the same group, you could have different communities.
So your football experience, Anish, were there at any point, maybe here comes the best player in the country, and then if let's say today you're the coach or you're the CEO of a company, right? You're the coach, yeah. But this best player may not fit into the existing culture, but you're going to drive results. He's going to give you a lot of points. Like, how would you handle those situations? No, have you heard of like stories on how other people handle these situations?
Yeah. So I actually have a story. We played in, I think it was the junior or like the boys 19 team. And we had, we were pretty good to be honest. And we had a player coming from England for some reason. And he wanted to join us, and everyone was like, okay, this guy's going to be so good because he comes from England. He had a great reputation when he came, and the coaches like talked him a bit up. But we were not sure, like his English, he talked another language. And we were like, does this guy going to fit in our team? And then he was super funny, and he created some friends, but it was difficult for the people that was bad in English to kind of create friendship with him. And again, he then turned out to not be as good as we had hoped. And then again, people kind of turned against them because he hadn't, taken part of the culture that we already had, and he hadn't make enough time to get to know us. And then when he kind of doesn't bring anything to the table, he kind of got pushed out of both the community and the culture, actually. And so that was difficult on him, and we were maybe a bit tough on him as well. But yeah, it's difficult to come in as an outsider, even though you're good or bad. But yeah, it was hard on him.
I think also, Anders, when you're telling this story, it makes me think, and I think it also, this all comes down to the management as well, right? And as we said almost in the beginning of this, what we're looking for, or what I'm thinking about that we should have connected to our community and network, is the competence within building teams and the HR part of it, you know, and how do you organize and how do you do these things in a good way? So how do you combine the best player and the happy community people, like the ones making the community easier to just keep, you know? And I think that balance is really something the manager also needs to see. So, I mean, let's put it on the other side. For my part, I need to fill all of the offices. Some of them might be the ones being able to pay all the bills and not really like a startup not knowing yet, you know. And then I would love the startups for the mindset of startups that is really cool and gives a lot to the community. And then the third part is probably the creative, happy-go-lucky kind of people making the creative vibe, you know, for example. So, I mean, you need a balance in all this, I think, to create that community in a way.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Balance is key. But it's also challenging to find a balance because it's not something we can touch, see, or could measure easily. But speaking of your experience, Anina, did 657 ever have to turn away somebody because of culture fit?
I've only been here since August, but I've already felt on that feeling a few times, but it never happened that I turned them down. We are focusing on being inclusive and the diversity is amazing, even though it's not always the best fit, but usually the company sees that itself. So back to what I said earlier, like if it doesn't feel like the place for you, it's probably not the place for you. And that's not us trying to make people not feeling welcome, because we will always try to welcome everyone with open arms. But if you don't feel like it's the right place or the right niche or the right company sitting here, well, then you probably fit perfect somewhere else, you know? So it's a tricky, but not so tricky anyway, you know? Everyone feels, I mean, the guts and the feeling you get is something to follow, I think.
Absolutely. Trust the gut feeling. I want to quickly congratulate you on your new opportunity. I know you recently Thank got you. More responsibility, but I think that's a good thing. And I think being a female leader is kind of breaking what we call the glass ceiling. And I think there should be more female leaders in the world, as much as I work coming Definitely. From a more male dominant place. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's a really fun journey that we're beginning in 657. Mm.
Great. I love that spirit. All right, folks. Thanks for listening to another episode of How to Entrepreneur. If you're ready to join a co-working community and take your business to the next level, check out 657. And Anina, there's an event coming up at 657, right?
Thank you, Rino. So it's not just an event. It's an ongoing thing that we're doing a pilot for right now. But this fall, we will actually launch this hybrid learning platform, helping startups, ambitious people going to market. So we want to fuel your business with relevant tools and practical advices and experiences so that you can make your startup accelerate in a good way. And that is in collaboration with a lot of skilled partners, both in-house and outside of house. And I would really recommend everyone ready to go to market to apply and check it out. More info will come soon.
Great. Thank you for sharing, Anina. We'll be sure to put the 657 Make event in the description below as well. Now, before we go.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We will see you at the next episode about culture, where we will talk to CEO of Enable Magic and the co-founder of Inch, Even Dahl. If you like How to Entrepreneur, follow us at Inch.uio at Instagram, Facebook, or if you live in Bergen, follow us at Inch Bergen. See you next time.